Blog Talk Radio.
I'll give you a minute. Come on.
Play another song. Don't play the same song.
I want to play the same song. But they're a theme song.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
a memory.
Oh, what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
grave.
I ain't going.
See how you are. All right. Give me a second here, everybody. All right. Good evening, everyone. Pastor Kenny Powers here. Glad to be in here with you tonight. So haven't been up here too awful many times, but I love to teach God's word. Let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this evening, for this service, Father. It brings us so much wisdom and knowledge and understanding about this life of walking with you and how we should walk, Father. What we should be doing and thinking and saying, Father. Just be with us this evening with your spirit, Father. Bless your servant with your spirit and give us that which you want us all to hear. And I ask this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord's leading me to teach in 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. So I'll give you a minute to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1. All right. So Peter teaches a little bit different than Paul. It's very good. It's just I don't know, it always seems like every time I teach with the book of Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, it teaches just flows a little differently than Paul's teaching and how he writes. But it's amazing teaching. So let's get into it. Verse 1 here, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, ye believe. Sorry, yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, whom without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. All right, we'll just ask the blessing of the reading of this word tonight, Father, that you continue to bless your servant with that Holy Spirit of yours, Father, that you can teach us all something about what you have for us tonight from this message. Educate us all, Father, in what you want us to know. And ask this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I think there's like four commas and all that. The Apostle Paul, or Peter, doesn't use a whole lot of commas and periods. So it's if you study how he writes, it's very different how Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter are put together. Very strong books, very good, very powerful. So let's get into this. Similar to how the Apostle Paul wrote, He's telling us in verse 1 who he is and why he is here. So let's get into that. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To the stranger, all right, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So different parts of that part of the world. And so anyway, it's an amazing part of the world, Greece, Turkey. So verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. So what does elect mean? Elect means chosen. So God chooses, right, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So we're going to break this down a little bit. The acknowledge, the elect, is God knows who will be a pastor, who will be a deacon, who will be a Christian. And as Pastor Tony was speaking to us some before church, you know, some of these preachers on TV, they're outwardly Christian, but they're not, there's nothing inside, right? So God knows that beforehand. He knows everything about us before we are, before the beginning of the world, to be honest. So the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is what he's referring to. Sanctification means being made holy. Beforehand, we were not holy, right? When we have that Holy Spirit, we can walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. We can't do that. Even as wise as Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived before or after him. That's what the scripture says. But without the Holy Spirit, right, all that wisdom and knowledge, right, he didn't, you know what I mean, it wasn't enough. He needed that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. So that sanctification, so we are through, elect according to the foreknowledge of the God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now that's a big mouthful there. In verse 2, it's covering a lot of ground here with this. So being made holy unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, in the Old Testament, they would have to cover everything in blood. I mean, you would be covered in blood, the altar. I mean, it was a, the English people, they say, what a bloody mess, right? So it'd be a bloody mess, right? And, but that is what makes us holy. Well, we are baptized in Jesus' name, right? We lay down in that water, we come up, right? We are raised up with him. See, we are made holy through sanctification, which means made holy of the Spirit, means the Holy Spirit, unto obedience. So the Spirit helps us to be obedient to God's word. Because without that leading of the Holy Spirit, right, we can't obey. And that's the thing with baptism. I was baptized wrong 3 times, and I'm not sure about Pastor Tony or some of you, but there is a difference with obedience with being baptized the right way. You get that Spirit. The Spirit will lead you and guide you as to how you walk and what you do. Then, like Pastor Tony was teaching this a little bit this morning about works, then you have the works, right? It comes out of you because God is inside of you, right? So you can't put something in there yourself. You can't make yourself good by works. And I think a lot of the, you know, selling generators, all these churches doing all kinds of crazy stuff, right? They're trying to make themselves good by works instead of just letting the Spirit lead, right? Then you have works. So the works come from God, amen, through us. So he's saying here, grace unto you and peace be multiplied, amen. 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, begotten meaning like fathered us, again, by being born again, right? So we have a spiritual father, right, and a physical daddy. So we're being, his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, like a spirit, you know, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So I am here today because of the hope I have in this word, right? So it sounds a little selfish, but it's really not. You got to believe, even Hebrews 11 talks about faith. You first got to believe that God is a rewarder of people that believe he exists and will bless you. You got to start somewhere. So you got to have that faith that God exists, that he will reward you for trusting in him. It's kind of a nuts and bolts kind of situation. But that's the bottom line, right, where we all need to be. So we have that hope and that resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are able to rise above sin, because the world around me, I think it's a combination of today, the world getting worse faster, but also I'm not going with them, right? I'm not sure it's a combination of, number one, I'm not getting worse, but I'm also improving my life spiritually-wise with Jesus Christ, amen, with my faith in God. But it is a sad thing to see everybody just giving in and to sin and just walking away from truth and love and care, right? We were talking about that before church. You know, it's hard to pay anybody to come and to care, even to pay them money to care. That I said this before many times over the years. There's no love, care, or truth in money, right? There's just none. It's empty. It's not alive. It's dead. That's just the nuts and bolts of it, right? Money is not alive, right? So no love, care, or truth in money. Money doesn't care. And many people want to chase after money instead of chase after God. See, I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. I work for Almighty God, amen? So I'm not worried about, you know, where I'll sleep tonight or what I have for money or food to eat. God, if I serve him, he will provide for me. So we have that hope there in 1 Peter chapter 3, or 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Yeah, it's a lot of things that we see. The world is passing away. So whether it's lettuce or flowers, right, it's not going to stay alive, right? It's going to perish. Now, it might take 1,000 years for some of this stuff to break down, right, like minerals or whatever. But nothing is permanent except God. The enemy will constantly change, and that's how you know who's talking. A lot of people want to know how God works and how the enemy works. How do you know the difference? And I've had to learn this on my own, right? The enemy will always change. The devil always will change. But God never changes. He cannot change. So that's how we know who is speaking to us. Now we have to be patient because the enemy is a imitator, not a duplicator. Amen? So we have that lively hope to an inheritance uncorruptible. It's not going to go away. It's not going to be bad. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to be taken away from us later, right? Where this world, right, tornado can come, an earthquake can happen, right? We get old, you know, things can happen. But heaven is a permanent place, undefiled. Amen? Five, who are reserved in heaven for you. Now, who is you? You means you and I that are obeying God's word and fulfilling what the word of God says. That's the you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. So God keeps us. You don't keep you. I don't keep me. God keeps us. Amen. If we obey his word. Now there's some ifs in there. Right? So if we obey the word, God will keep us. So we have that reservation, like we get a reservation for a plane or a hotel room, right? Something like that, right? We know we got it because we get the code and the email or whatever it is, right? So God has reserved us a place in heaven to be revealed in the last time, and I can't wait to see how beautiful and amazing it is. I wait for that day. I've heard many people that talk about how beautiful it is. Right? KD's come before the throne. Johnny Cash, his brother, had died, and he came back and he told Johnny and the family how beautiful it was. I think John Hagee was there. I think your uncle had died, it was your grandpa, and your uncle was praying to bring him back, right? And he came back. Yeah. He wasn't happy about having to come back. Now, I can't imagine going to such a beautiful place.
He told me he'd make me good all over again.
So heaven has got to be more beautiful and amazing than we can consider. I don't think we can understand how beautiful heaven is. I don't think we can contain that. So, but that will be revealed in the last time. Okay, six, wherein ye greatly rejoice though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold mean various. The enemy is going to tempt us and to try us. And this is a good thing. We don't like it. We like things going our way. We don't like things not going our way. We don't like temptations. I'm hungry. There's a sexy woman. You know, I'm tired. I want to sleep. There's a lot of temptations the enemy will use. And I always remember something Charles Stanley, the TV preacher here in America, said a long time ago. The enemy will attack you when you're weak. It's kind of like the military, right? You want to go for the weak spot and then hit them hard where they're weak, right? Because it breaks the enemy lines. And that's what the enemy wants to do with us, is to break us. When we're hungry, when we're angry, when we're lonely, and when we are tired. So H-A-L-T is what the German spelling for halt, which means stop. So that's a way the enemy uses to stop us, right? As those tactics, just be aware that you can use those on the enemy. You can stop his attacks by being mindful of that. Even Jesus, when he was fasting and praying, the enemy was on him all the time. I mean, that's God in the flesh himself being tempted. So if he was being tempted, what do you think the enemy will do to you and me? So we have to be mindful of that. See, that's verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be. See, we're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is why the enemy hunts the precious life. He wants your soul. He's going to tempt you with money, with gold, silver, sexy women, fast cars, tons of money, right? Because he knows that that soul is worth more than anything on the planet altogether. This is why he attacks us so hard with things of this world to tempt us with, that we might just let go of the salvation thing and we'll chase after their fifth wife, right? Or, right, we'll invest all our money in a new Ponzi scheme, right? Or something like that. I'm just saying, the enemy's out there. He's crafty. I mean, I got family telling me just go grab another wife, right? You know, I mean, no, I'm not joking. So, I mean, just go out there and have a great time. See, we're told even with Saul or the Moses, right? He let go of the sin, the pleasures of sin for a season to follow what God had for him. So sin is pleasurable. But there's a key word there. That word is season. Right. It's like a credit card. I can have great time with it, right, until I get the bill. And there's no more money on the card. Well, then the good times are over, right? Now I have to pay the bill. So that's kind of the way sin is. It's free for a little bit, but so there's a bill that has to be paid. And that's why the enemy hunts for that precious life. He wants us to chase money, women, and fast cars, and all those sexy, beautiful things, right? Because it's a trap. Money is a trap. Fast cars, fast women, and, you know, they're all beautiful, sexy, all that stuff. Watch, the enemy will jump in there. It can trap your soul. I know. I've been down that road. So let's go here back to verse 7. So I'll read it again. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perish means it dies. Though it be tried with fire, like gold and silver are not alive, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see, or we see him, Jesus, not, right, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, this is what this faith in Jesus Christ, this Christian thing, the Bible, Jesus, God thing is all about. It's trusting in God, having a son, Jesus, taking our sins, dying on the cross, right, being raised from the dead, paying for our sins. The little wrinkle and trick that we get caught into, and the enemy will trap us if we're not careful. And Paul goes into this pretty deeply in Romans. is that, you know, hey, shouldn't we, hey, we can sin, we got salvation, right? We're on the right road, right? We can just do whatever we want, get that fifth or ninth wife, right? We're okay. That's what the enemy will always trap you with. You got salvation, just go to church on Sunday, wear nice clothes, right? You show up, everybody love you. So, you know, it's okay to just commit sin.
I love them doing
it. Yep. And it's a trap, just like money, right? I'm not saying salvation is a trap. The enemy will push out a lot of things in our lives and get us to view it as salvation, as acceptable behavior, because keep in mind, he was an angel, and he knows every word in this Bible. Never lose sight of that, that Satan knows every word in this Bible. If you do not know every word in the Bible, you're at a disadvantage, and that's putting it mildly. You have to meditate daily on God's word so that you are armed with a weapon, like a sword. Because the enemy is armed. See, he's going to twist every word in this book. Just like he did with Eve. Nah, that's not really what he said, was it? Right? God don't really mean that just marry once and you're married to, it's okay. He wants you to be happy, right? Just go get you their 12th wife. It'll be okay. He wants you to be happy. See, the enemy will be on you. And he's got a demonic army out here just saying, that's okay. That's acceptable behavior. Oh, yes. See, that's the thing, this rejoice, this hope that we have in the salvation, right? And receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We must continue this walk according to Scripture until we hear him say, well done, faithful servant, enter into thy rest. At that point, we have actually got salvation. Until then, we are working out our salvation. Because I wish it was done. It'd be a lot easier, right? We got a church up here, the next town, a couple towns up, right? They'll have you in front of the church, right? Church will have you. They'll tell you you got salvation, which would be nice. I kind of wish it would work that way. They just go to church and got salvation. I don't really have to do nothing, right? But we got churches doing that. So salvation is a work for each of us. Amen? All right, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You know, these prophets in the Bible, like Jeremiah, you know, Isaiah, all these prophets were tortured, cut in two, and sawed in asunder, cut in two. Hebrews 11 will tell you about that, you know, sleeping in deserts and mountains. They had that hope. They didn't have this Bible. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Imagine the faith of these people. In fact, I was reading an article earlier today about a lady was looking for work. This was in the Depression here in America. She walked. It had to be, I know it was over 700 miles down to get work from Memphis down into, way down into Texas, you know, to find work. And here I am complaining my air conditioning quit on Friday. I got home. You know, I'm miserable because I don't have air conditioning. You know, the thing is we want to whine and cry about the life that, you know, that just makes us mildly uncomfortable today, right? In times past, you know, these people, or people behind us that came before us, right, really had to work hard. So these prophets You know, they really did acquired and searched diligently. They were really searching for the salvation, this walk with God that would make heaven our home. All right, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's in Isaiah chapter 53. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to constantly update them. Like today we have updates, right? We get updates on our apps, on our phone, you know, software update for our computer. So this Holy Spirit, they didn't have. God would tell them something. So hopefully he didn't turn the heat on, did he? So we need that Holy Spirit to update us. It's kind of like an app, right? An update for like Windows Update or your Apple, your iPhone, to update you, so that your software, your phone can work so you can communicate properly. All right. I'm doing okay. Thank you. Praise God. Now I'm going to have to hold on to the pages now.
Everything else.
All right. Praise God.
Yes.
So this is a thing that they, our prophets, inquired diligently down through the centuries about this Jesus, who he was, what would be the sign to his coming. And the Jewish people were always looking for a sign, see, because they did not have that Holy Spirit. You and I have access to that Holy Spirit to give us that information. We don't need a sign. He will commune inside of us and speak through us and tell us where to go, what to say, what to do, when to do what, or not to do anything, if we are willing to listen. All right, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So there's a lot to cover in this little chapter, or this little verse here. It's a lot of stuff in this. Peter, I think God used these people, they can say more in less words than any person in history, right, in God's word. Amen? They can just get so much more of it done. So unto whom it was revealed, meaning the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, God will have us pray for people we don't know, we may never see, and we may never have a conversation. God will have us, the Spirit will lead us to pray for people. Honestly, I pray for people I honestly thought were dead, right? I was thinking there's no way they're still alive. But I would pray for them because the Spirit led me to pray. So we are servants. We are not masters. We let the Lord lead us. Amen? 13. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the grace, sorry, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. As obedient children, see, that goes on here probably about seven verses. Peter doesn't have a lot of periods in it. He has some colons and semicolons and commas. So it's a lot to cover because God, what he does for us, you can't really put in like 10 words or less, right? It's just not going to work. So what he does for us is amazing. So we have to gird up our loins and our mind and be sober. Sober doesn't mean just, you know, not drunk. But our mind needs to be focused and pure on God's word.
Discipline
means you study God's word, so your thoughts need to travel in alignment with Scripture. Right? It's like a wall inside your mind where you keep evil and sin, the words, the thoughts. You keep those walled off. All right. That didn't shut off, did it? Okay. My apologies. I just heard a noise. So this is the thing here, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Yes, I just did what I wanted. See, I didn't grow up Christian. I go to a church. Now, when I was a boy, my church, right, I grew up Catholic. Now, my dad taught me that Christians were them other people, right? If you're watching me on camera, Christians were them other people. Now, I'm told today Christians and Catholics are the same. You know, I'm not going to scream or cry about it. I'm just saying. So I'd go to church and, right, I'd get beer and I'd go to the lake. I'd have a great time, right? So there's a lot of people that do that. And, you know, they live like hell 6 days a week and make sure they put on nice clothes and show up for a meeting on Sunday. They kind of restart their week after church. Maybe during church, you never know. So that's the thing, that we are supposed to be not conforming ourselves according. We can't be that old person that we were. If we are going to call ourselves Christian or Christ-like, we must be different than who we've been. And that takes tremendous amount of work and effort on our part. And we must constantly, like he says here, you know what I mean? We have to be vigilant. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you, meaning Almighty God, is holy, so be ye holy in the manner of conversation. Conversation here, it's like a conversation-like behavior. I apologize for this. It's cutting in and out because the signal here is kind of weak with the internet. So, but we are to be holy in our behavior with how we walk. And I don't mean just wearing an I Love Jesus t-shirt out in public, not just darkening the doorstep at the church, but in your own home behind closed doors. What are you doing? Are you cursing? Are you, I don't know, drinking? What behavior are you exhibiting that's different today than it was, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago? Before, you know what I mean, before you came to Christ. So you should always look at yourself and see where you are compared to where you were. There needs to be change. It should be a change on a daily basis. If we would study God's word enough, we would see change in our life on a daily basis. Even if it's really, you know, very small change, we should be somewhat different every day. So we have to be holy. 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Also, Jesus had said, be ye perfect, and we don't like that word. Be perfect as I am perfect. The only reason Jesus fulfilled the law is because he did not sin. And people, you know, we always think of, well, he was born without sin. Well, Adam was born without sin. Eve was born without sin. So, and they didn't, they weren't God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. So sin is actually a choice. Never forget that. Sin is a choice. We have to choose to not do that. And sin is fun, like I was just telling you about Moses. And you don't lose sight of that. Because it is fun, right? You know, the murder, the rape, all the evil and sin of this life and the world, right, to destroy and rob. And it's being portrayed, if you watch TV, as entertainment. It's viewed as fun. It's sad to say that, and you probably don't want to hear this from a preacher, but I've noticed that. Movies that were coming out in the 40s and the 50s weren't, they weren't gang raping people, right? They weren't mass murdering people, all over. I mean, I know down through history that happened, but it was clean, right? I'm just saying it wasn't as filthy as it is today. That's the thing with the enemy. He wants to pervert everything and everyone all the time. So if Jesus was born without sin, right, it is an obtainable thing to walk without sin in your life. Don't listen to people say you have to live with sin in your life. You don't have a choice. Well, if that's the case, why show up for church? Why would you want to show up for church if you can't live without sin? Then what's the point? And just go get some beer and go to the lake. I could be back where I was, right? Because sin is fun. If you can't stop, and that's the thing. They don't believe in what they've claimed to be teaching. Because if you believe God's word, you'll accept it, and there will be a change in your behavior. But that starts with belief. A lot of preachers are not believing this word. That's why they don't teach it. And if they don't believe it, they're not going to behave accordingly. Right? They'll do it for the money. They'll do it for a lot of things, but they will not do it out of faith. So you got to believe in what you're doing. Why are you a Christian? Why do you go to church? Why do you have a Bible? Maybe you need to ask yourself those questions tonight. I don't know. You need to look at your own spiritual walk and decide if you are Christ-like or not. Are you just faking it until you make it? We hear that a lot. I'm going to fake it until I make it. That really doesn't work very well. All right, verse 17. And if you call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Sojourning here means like a temporary stay. We could be gone tomorrow. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised I lived to be this long. I had no plans to live past age 30. I drove drunk all the time. I was careless. I was a horrible sinner. Right? I thought I'd be dead a long time ago. But God is not a respecter of persons. He will judge you according to every man's work. We are to live in fear of what God will do to us if we don't obey God's word. That's the kind of fear of the Lord thing that we're supposed to have. I mean, not terrified of him like we can't talk to him. That's not the fear, right, that he's talking about. That if we lie, right, as with that the man and the woman came to Peter, they both lied, dropped dead, right, like that. The man first, and then it was the woman, I believe. So dropped dead right there.
So
right there. They were lying to the Holy Spirit. See, God doesn't have respect in people. I don't care how many crosses you wear around your neck, how old you are, how much money you have. God doesn't respect that. I don't need my name on the door. I don't need a gazillion dollars, right? But we do need to be mindful of how we walk with God, have that fear of God. 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received, or foolish ways, right, by tradition from your fathers. So a lot of people want to buy their way into heaven. They'll donate a lot of money to church, or they'll do this or that. You know, they get their name on a plaque on a wall, right, outside for help building the church. Well, that'll, praise God, that'll get me into heaven, right? That works on the outside. I don't want to. No, that's the wrong way. So we need to be mindful of that at all times. We are redeemed, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Amen. So God has revealed himself to us. And I've taught this many times with Romans chapter 1. Always thank God. I don't care if it's you fall out of the bed on the floor. You thank God for that. If you don't have any food to eat, you don't have any money, you don't have a job. I'm about out of money and I currently don't have a job. I'm still thankful to God that even though I don't have, God is my provider. But you've got to be walking with God. You got to be mindful of how you live your life, how you walk with God. You have to be very mindful of that. Then you know, see, like David, right? He did not fear of tens of thousands that would surround him because he walked with God. He trusted in God. We have to have that childlike faith that we trust in God because we stand with him. We trust in him. Amen? So Jesus was verily foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was made known or revealed in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. See, we have to have that faith that we can be one with God, that we can talk to God. Because a lot of mankind thinks that, well, God is just something that's just out there. He's too big and too great and too difficult. And a lot of people believe that. Right? And there are a lot of these people are in our churches. They're worshiping something they do not understand in a lot of our churches today. They have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They show up for meetings and they don't know. It makes them feel good. You know, we can't just worship something we don't understand just because it makes us feel good. It don't work like that. 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh boy, I don't like my neighbor. They're not very nice people. That's the problem. We want to love those that we like. So if you're too fat or you're too skinny, or like Pastor always talks about, this other church down the street, see, in America, I don't know how it is in other countries, right? If you leave a church, they don't talk to you anymore. And be right in your own family. They won't talk to you. And churches do not talk to each other. They got all kinds of Baptist churches, and he's been talking about that. Here I'm thinking they're all the same, right? I didn't understand why we call them the missionary and fundamental and second and all these other kind of Baptist churches. I just say Baptist is all the same, right? It's not all the same. They don't get along. They don't agree with each other, and they don't necessarily talk to each other. So this is not what God called us to do. We're supposed to love one another, and it was unfeigned. That means sincere. So it can't be just like, I love you, brother, I'm going to pray for you. We really have to mean that. We're supposed to love our enemies, let alone people that are different than us. And, you know, today the enemy is always attacking us on color, skin, and gender, and all these things to keep us divided. And that's what he wants, right? But our DNA and our fingerprints are all unique. We're all different. So there's nobody that God has created that's like anybody. We are created in the image of God. So Adam and Eve, right? Adam was created, right? In the likeness. And Eve came from Adam. But we're all still unique. Our personalities, our fingerprints, our DNA. So, you know what I mean? That's kind of silly to divide people by a race or a gender or a country. That's nonsense from the enemy to make us hate each other. That's what he wants. We're supposed to love one another with unfeigned love, sincere love. 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So we are walking in newness of life when we become born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Means we are born in sin, but because we fulfill that plan of salvation, right, God sees us as his own. So we are now born again, right, with incorruptible seed. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, walking with him. We are his now. So we also need to act like it, that we are his, right? We need to behave like him and think like him and be like him. Not just show up for church on Sunday and sing songs that we're going to be like him. We actually need to be like him all the time, right? So this thing is a real work. And I'm not saying it's impossible to do, but you do have to understand that this walk with God is a real work. It's not done when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get baptized, that's when it starts. So it's like a full-time job. It's like breathing. We need to breathe. We need to worship Jesus Christ. It's that simple. All right, two more verses. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So like kings will reign for a while, riches will be around for a while. You know, my driving career as a truck driver will be around for a while, right? But nothing is going to permanently last but Jesus Christ. Amen. God lasts forever, but the glory of man, right, things I love, things I want, right, are not going to last, things I desire. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. God doesn't change. Like I was saying earlier, that's how we know the enemy and God, because God don't change. Permanent, the same. So the enemy is always wanting you to believe, right, that anything is, and that's the thing he's trying to do today, and mostly what I see in our society, blur, like me trying to read without my glasses, right, the letters kind of go together a little bit. That's what the enemy is doing between good and evil. He's trying to blur it so it's the same. You can't tell the difference, right? And that's a lie, which he's really good at, by the way. So that's the thing. With the glasses, with the Holy Spirit, you have a set of glasses, spiritual glasses, that you can clearly see what's going on around you. That's why we need to have that Holy Spirit of Almighty God leading us and guiding us. Amen? Last part of this verse. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And this is what the enemy wants to shut down. He wants to stop this preaching. Because the devil does not want us to have hope. He doesn't want you to have a way out. The devil does not want you to have peace. He doesn't want you to care for others. I'm not joking. You help a little lady across the street, right? You're going to get a beat down from the enemy. He's not going to like that. Loving and caring for others, the enemy hates. He hates hope. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this evening service and for this amazing message tonight, Father, of hope and why we are here and what we should be doing. And Father, just give us that Holy Spirit and always help us to walk in that newness of life, Father. Keep us on that straight and narrow path with you, Father, that we don't become a statistic for the enemy, that we can walk in power. As your word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Father, that greater these things ye do because I go to the Father, Father. We're not seeing much of that today. Father, we worship you. And Father, we need these great things today. Our world is collapsing with this virus situation. And Father, the enemy is using it for his ends to cut freedom down, to close our churches, and to trap and silence free speech, Father, not only in America but around the world. Father, we know that discrimination and division and hate come from the enemy, Father. Help us all to stand as one and say no, that we want to yearn to be free, to worship you, Father. Father, for those on our prayer list, Father, there's a great list. Myself, my mother, my family. But mostly the people, Father, that I'm asking for prayer for tonight is all those that are lost and dying in this world that do not have, especially starting in our families, that do not have salvation. They're not on that pathway. They don't know you as their servant, Father. That a word may be said somewhere, some way, to reach these individuals in our families, Father. Because we don't want to see anybody gone, but it, you know, it hurts us a lot with how some of our family is living. Father, just continue to bless this little church and our outreach, not only here in this community, but indeed around the world, Father, with Facebook, with Blog Talk Radio, with getting this message out wherever you would have it to go. And Father, just continue to bless us in this little ministry and bless America, Father, as I put on that sticker on the truck I drove for nearly 3 years, Father. America, bless God. Not you blessed America. We need to be blessing you with how we walk and how we live our life. I ask this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, God be with y'all. And we'll be back here Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Until then, God be with you and keep you in the palm of his hand. All right. God bless you all.